You're listening to Inland Edition, Empire KVCR's new program looking at issues and resources available to residents as Inland Empire communities battle the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Our guest is Riverside County Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Judy White. She serves as both the superintendent and the chief executive officer of the Riverside County Office of Education, RCOE, and the superintendent of county schools for the county's preschool through 12th grade. Dr. White has worked as a classified educator, a teacher, a principal, assistant superintendent, deputy superintendent in San Bernardino City Unified School District, and superintendent of Moreno Valley Unified School District. The community calls her a history maker and stereotype breaker because of her many accomplishments. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
First, let's talk about how many K through 12 schools or students and teachers and staff does Riverside County Office of Education serve?
We are the fourth largest county office of education, which includes 502 schools, 428,000 students, 19,000 teachers, 16,000 classified staff, and 1,489 administrators.
Wow. So in this challenging time right now that we have, and as education is changing completely, what strategies are schools implementing in your county during this time?
At this time, we are using instructional packets for enrichment resources. We have transitioned to distance learning in many of our school districts with online support. We have grab-and-go lunches. More than 500,000 meals are served and were served in the first week alone. And some of our districts where many of our students actually can't even walk to a school site, they've been transported by bus. They've actually taken the same bus routes and then have the students just be at the bus route, and they'll give them two meals and some educational materials. We have technology tools, laptops, iPads, and mobile hotspots, and we're trying to make sure that we have closed the digital divide to make sure that even the students who are in the most remote areas have access to online opportunities.
Wow. So let me ask a little further on a couple of those. First, about the laptops and the hotspots. How and do all the students that you know need them have them in place now?
No.
Okay.
They don't all have them in place. We have actually done a survey, and probably still with this large number of students that we do serve, there's about 25% who still do not have the technology that they need to properly access all the online opportunities from their homes. And that is why we are writing for grants to try to get more support so that every child would have access to online servicing.
Okay, so clearly not every child is going to have that. So your backup plan for them is the instructional packages?
Yes, and that's what we have been disseminating, instructional packaging. One good thing has come out, too, is that when KVCR reached out to us through their chancellor, we have created lessons that can be seen from the television, because most families have a television, even when they don't have a computer, and that way students would be able to actually turn to a certain channel at a certain time of day, and they will see lessons that are appropriate for their grade level span.
Right, so that is part of our at-home learning, which is going on with many of the public television stations throughout the state of California, and KVCR-TV is involved with that. And I'll just mention this, that the 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. is geared for pre-K to third grade. 9 a.m. to 12 noon is academics for 4th through 8th grade. And then 12 noon to 3 p.m. is our 9th through 12th plus. So that is going on. And the two counties have been working on curriculum for that through KVCR-TV. So that is another option. With the packaging, so have you gathered those and are you mailing them out? Do they come and pick them up at their home school? If they don't have those packaging and instructional assets, how are they getting that?
Yes, some of them are being mailed. Some of them, the students are accessing them from the school. And in some of our districts, they actually put them in the meal packets.
Oh.
So that students would get them when they were getting their meal, and then they would have it. There is record keeping going on countywide to make sure that everyone has access. We were so pleased to hear from one of our local apartment complexes to say that they would be willing to go online, find the necessary site to print materials for their residents that have children in their particular place. And that's been great. And then others have donated paper to some of the apartment complexes in order to make sure that students have access to materials.
So it seems like the public is coming together to help our students, our teachers, and our parents get through this time. Let me just ask you about the grab-and-go lunches and the bus routes. So you must have staff working early in the morning, fixing it each morning. It gets on the bus and it goes?
Yes, and so the governor and our public health officer had identified what we call essential positions. So most of our districts do have a central kitchen. So they will be preparing sack lunches and distributing them to the school sites. Now, in some districts, every school site is distributing meals. In other school districts, they communicated to parents that only maybe five in that district are going to be disseminating meals. And so we have staff, many times it's our administrators and our nutrition services staff, and they're keeping the physical distance, but they would put the meals out on a table, and then the families would come through either walking or through a car, pick up what they need. In other cases, we've observed them actually asking the families to stay in the car, and then the meals will be actually handed through the window for the students. And they're trying to give at least two meals. So if they come in the morning, they'll have breakfast and lunch. If they come in at lunchtime, they'll have lunch and breakfast for the next morning.
Oh.
So every district has been able to decide how they're going to do it. We found out today that in Palm Springs, not only are they going on the bus routes to deliver the meals to the students, they're giving them enough for the full week. So they're giving them food
Wow.
that they can keep for the week so that they only have to do that once a week.
That's really trying to work ahead. Now, how long is how long has this been going on? Was last week the first week, or when did you implement this?
No, it actually, for us, our public health officer ordered all schools closed earlier in March. March 16th through April 30th is what our order was described. And so, but the expectation was beginning on March 16th, that first day, that meals would be available. And so it has been going on since March 16th.
And so this time is typically spring break. Are the teachers getting their spring break, or did they get that? Or is each district have a spring break at a different time? So how is that being worked out?
Each district has a spring break at a different time. Well, some they do overlap, but spring breaks are negotiated mm-hmm. with associations and other personnel, and then once those dates have been decided, then that is considered the spring break. Those districts that are on spring break, teachers are directly not involved, but once the spring break is over, or in some districts they voted to alter the spring break to make it at a different time, but the teachers are expected to be working at home when it's not a scheduled spring break time.
Our guest is Dr. Judy White. She is the superintendent of Riverside County Schools, and we're talking about the circumstances that we're currently living in and how education still needs to continue. Dr. White, I want to ask you, and I asked your colleague, Ted Alejandre, the same thing. How are teachers and parents supposed to know their roles? Obviously, teachers know their roles, but with some of the parents taking on some of the duties of the education part, or are the teachers still teaching their lessons and the children are able to watch it somewhere?
I am finding that there is a variety of approaches because every district still has their autonomy that they are able to decide how they're going to deliver the information. Mm-hmm. And most districts in our county, the teachers are providing some type of support for enrichment activities. An example, students are able to zoom in and see their teacher reinforce a lesson, but these are enrichment lessons. And then there are other places where the contracts do not reflect the opportunity for the teachers to be as engaged, or it might be their spring break, but there's still materials available on the websites. And what will happen is that sometimes the student may be in an enrichment opportunity and then have to ask their parent for support. We're asking our districts, and most districts already have a parent website that parents can go on and look at how to reinforce a certain concept. I am working closely with our PTA council president to see what we can do for parent-to-parent support. And we're going to be doing more things so that parents can be even there for each other by phone and also to discuss. But it is asking the parents to pay attention to what their child's learning, but it's not asking the parents to teach a lesson. Sometimes with enrichment is the students may have already been exposed to a certain standard or concept in their classroom, and the enrichment is just taking it further, but the basics should be there.
Now, when you talk about Zoom In, that's considered your distance education, distance learning?
That is just one part. Zooming, actually going to a website that's already been set up for a teacher to teach a lesson, that would be one way. We have several of our teachers that are doing YouTube, because YouTube, you can actually live stream it.
Right.
So they might use a YouTube, which more students are familiar with. There are lessons that have been pre-taught and sent out, and people can go to the website of their individual district. So distance learning just means that you are working in a different place than maybe the instructor.
Got it.
The student is learning at a different physical, geographical space.
Okay.
And that's what causes it to be distant. So it can be a variety of ways to present.
You're listening to Inland Edition from Empire KVCR News. I'm Lillian Vasquez. In this new program, we're reaching out to leaders in our region to help us get the best information to you as we navigate through these challenging times. My guest today is Dr. Judy White, Riverside County Superintendent of Schools. Just before the break, you talked about digital delivery of distance education using Zoom, YouTube, and local school district websites. So it looks like you have good options for delivering lessons to students. Now, Dr. White, can I ask if you had any feedback or questions from teachers or from parents? What are you hearing?
Parents and teachers tend to call the county offices sometimes if they can't get a direct line and they have questions. And some of the questions they have, we don't have the answers. How long is this going to last? We don't know. This is a health issue. And the stay-at-home order was not ordered by the districts. It was ordered by either their public health officials or even the governor. And so those are types of questions. We have questions from teachers about how can they stay connected. So there are certain websites teachers go to share their own best practices. I'll give you an example of something I thought was really exciting, because this is not just academic, but this is also social in terms of emotions for students not seeing their teachers that they have great relationships with. So as we know, I think it was Starlight Elementary in Riverside County, the teachers did a parade in their communities. And they told the students they can just go to their porch. They couldn't go out to the cars. But just to see their teachers saying, hi, we miss you, it actually motivated the students. And so I heard that next week a school district in Redlands is going to do the same thing. And so when they talk about what works well and they share that information with each other, then others tend to actually replicate that particular best practice.
I know one of our colleagues here, her students were outside while the teachers drove by, and you could see the caravan, and they were so excited, and she posted it on Facebook. So,
she did.
Yes, so it was very exciting for the kids to see their teachers drive by. So I guess that is getting creative and the community coming together to work it out together during these times. You mentioned it briefly, and I was going to ask, we don't know how long this is going to go on, and I guess you take your direction from the Department of Education or the governor. Is that who's going to determine how long this will go for?
Yes. And so there's two parts to it. You have your state superintendent, you have your governor, but you also have your public health recommendations, which the governor actually listens to, what the public health advisors will recommend. Here in Riverside County, our public health officer ordered the shutdown even before the governor, and he has that authority to do that. So once he said the schools will close March 16th, we had to adhere to his order, because he did it in an order and he gave it with the rationale, and that's what happened there. And so we have to go day by day. We're curious about how the State Department will define what the school year ending date will be. In some states already, they've said the last day that students attended is the last day for this school year. And other states, there's an expectation that they would come back for a short period of time. And in other states, they're saying summer is going to be a different semester. So we're waiting for the direction and the final decisions, but they have not been made at this time.
And I guess you'd also be waiting to hear regarding how they're going to progress to the next grade level or how the grading will take place. Will that be
Absolutely.
Determined?
That's going to be determined. And the other part to this, the majority of the calls that I've received have been from seniors. And my heart just goes out because,
yeah.
you know, graduation celebrations, that's our rite of passage in our society. Mm. And many of them are concerned. But most of them that are going to college had already received their letters of acceptance because March and April is the time that the decisions have been made. However, some have received contingencies where they would have to finish a certain class or they'd have to make up their grade point average, and will those opportunities be available to them? We were so happy, though, to be able to celebrate that the College Board did make the decision that the AP exam is still going to be given to the students who have worked so hard all year.
Yeah.
But this AP exam, of course, is going to be done online. It's going to be done. They can use any device, even their phones, to take this test. And so that's good news for some of our seniors, too.
And I know it's a trying time. Senior year is supposed to be your best year where you have
yes.
prom and grad
yes.
night and all the things that
yes.
we've all looked forward to and experienced mm-hmm. over the years. So maybe there'll be other ways of thinking how we can make that up to them in the coming months. I
yes.
want to ask briefly, what's in store? What do you have in place for those students that are in the special ed?
It is very necessary that we really look at the students' IEPs. And in some cases, the parents and the school districts are having online conversations. The way that the directive that we were given, if they change their IEPs to work online or they change their IEPs to address the needs of the students in any way, it's okay to have an electronic signature, but it has to be followed up by an email from that parent. In the county office, we serve some of the most at-risk students. And of course, there's no way that you can serve some of them without a face-to-face. And because of the order, we're not able to provide that service.
Yeah.
But we are trying to still give out packets where appropriate, give out lessons online where appropriate, but everything we're doing is for enrichment. These are enrichment activities. And then when students come back, we're hoping that they'll have an extended year so that they can make up some of the lost time. But it's probably one of our greatest challenges. How do we adequately serve our students with special needs? And right now we're doing it through enhancement.
The IEP is standing for Individual Education Plan,
yes.
is what we're talking about. And so you're working directly with parents to try and get those
yes.
renewed,
and so,
I guess.
And it is an individual district approach because there's not just one thing. The federal government has been clear that the IEPs are still current and they are still valid, but that the districts can work with their parents to make any adjustments that's necessary that they are in agreement with. We do have some districts who had been working with parents with online type of support all along, so they're continuing that service even with their students with special needs, but they're doing it in an enrichment approach.
In our last couple of minutes that we have, can you share what final message, what you really want to bring home to our listeners, to who may be teachers or the personnel that are working for you or within the county, any message you want to bring home to them?
Yes, we care about our employees. We care about all of our students. And that is why we have made the commitment as a county superintendent to have daily inspirational comments, to make sure that they think about kindness and gratitude, because in times that are so difficult that we face, we have a tendency sometimes to see the gloom. And while we have many, many challenges, we have to also focus on what can we do. We can't be caught up in what we can't do, but we need to be creative about what can we do, and that we need to share We need to be able to reach out to people even by phone, but keep it positive. As a county office, we are still having an Art Connects online arts competition, and every week students can go online and they can create things under our banner of kindness, and that can keep them motivated. We want our educators to remember why they entered the field of education, and that passion that they have is driving them to find innovative ways to continue student learning. We have created a broader adoption of technology tools, and we need to use it wisely. But there's nothing like a kind voice, a kind word, and a kind action to show our support for humanity. And I just want them to just keep listening to the guidance of public health officials, stay at home, and prevent the spread of the virus so that our medical system will not be overwhelmed. And to our parents, beyond working with their children on their academic progress, I want them to take their pulse for their mental health and the impact of social distancing, isolation, and quarantine orders. I want them to create games with their children, cook with their children, and then try to just find that place of peace. And do not neglect to reach out to your relatives that do not live near you, and especially those family members and friends who live alone. I've always been a positive person. I know we're in a crisis, but I also know the research that says that we can keep our minds positive, that it will be healthy for us after the crisis.
Dr. Judy White is the Riverside County Superintendent of Schools. Dr. White, thank you so much for your time and your inspirational words.
Thank you.
To learn more about the program and services available through Riverside County Schools and the Riverside County Office of Education, including Arts Connection, visit their website at rcoe.us. That's rcoe.us. Next week on Inland Edition, we'll have more information about available resources in our two county regions as we work together to keep our local communities safe. That's Tuesday and Wednesday at 2 and 5:30 p.m. right here on Empire KVCR. To hear this episode and future shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/inlandedition. Thanks for listening. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.